Next on KCPQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Bick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Welcome to another edition of the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And we are here as a resource. We have both had plenty of years of experience, but I think we're up to 50 years of experience between the two of us in the financial services industry. So we've seen the good and the bad that's out there, and we decided to do this show originally based on that experience and try to get the word out that you really need to look out for yourself.
Right.
The reality is you're the only one that is always going to do what's best for yourself. The problem is sorting through all the information that's out there and determining what is the best decision to make, because there is so much conflicting information, generally with some conflict hiding behind it that's trying to get you to buy something or sell something.
Right.
And that is the big key. If you can identify those situations, then you're going to be in a much better position to make the right decision for what you're trying to accomplish for yourself.
Yeah, I remember my first trade ever was back in 1984.
Wow. You are really old.
I know. And then I remember living through that 87. Mm-hmm. Back in those days,
crash.
There was no TVs and stuff, mm-hmm. and no, there was just a ticker tape that you'd have to go look at, and boy, stuff went crashing down that day.
Right, you would hear the market report on AM radio.
Yeah.
And that was about the only place you got a constant update, unless you went to a Merrill Lynch or a Morgan Stanley or whatever the names were back then and sat in their office and watched the ticker tape run through the front of the office.
Yeah. So yeah, the 87 was my first blow. The side of the head, and there have been plenty more since
then. Well, there, 87 was a big one.
97 was big.
97?
Yeah.
No, 2000.
No, well, 2000 was as well. 97 was, they had that massive flash crash thing.
Right, the one.
That all came crashing down. It was funny because I was traveling through Southeast Asia at that point in time, and I was completely out of touch with anything. And I came out the other side like 2 months later, and my portfolio was higher than what it was when I went in. And then everyone goes, well, how did you deal with that crash? And I go, which crash? Which crash exactly?
So that doesn't
that
count.
Really,
then. You didn't survive it. You didn't even know it existed.
Exactly.
That doesn't count. But that does.
It just shows you that, hey, sometimes, you know, ignorance is bliss.
Correct. Yeah. And the reality, and I mean, we've had this discussion since 08, 09 that, if you look at the economic facts, there's no reason that the stock market should have done anywhere near as well as it has.
Right.
But it has basically gone straight up since 08.
It really has.
Early 09, since, what, the third week of March of 09, it has basically gone straight up. 2011 was a little bit flat.
There hasn't been any form of a correction since 11.
Right.
And a correction is down 10%. We haven't had anything in 3 years. It's one of the longest bull runs ever.
Right.
Known to man.
So, but
yes, I'm not saying any more than that.
No,
you
always hear it's time in the market, not timing the market.
Correct.
Sure, you can get lucky every once in a while, but if you try to time the market consistently, you're going to get hit pretty hard at some point. Maybe you get it right the first few times, but then you're going to get one wrong, and it's going to make all the correct guesses
right
disappear immediately. And it shows and is a testament to the markets. They do continually over time do well.
Yep.
And it kind of goes to Warren Buffett, we always talk about him. His philosophy is you buy good companies, and it doesn't matter what happens this year or even next year, because you're buying a good company. It's going to do well in the long run.
Correct.
And his time horizon is infinity,
right?
Which it's not that easy for your everyday citizen, because you need to invest for certain specific reasons, typically retirement. You need income and growth for retirement.
Yes, agreed. But the problem is with the modern investment, though. If you think about Warren Buffett, he grew up before me, and back in his time, and then it really became pervasive when I started in this game. It was all about value investing, and you looked at stocks and you tried to find value based on a specific company. And once you found that value, you buy and you hold pretty much forever, right? Because it just, as long as it's a good company, it'll keep growing.
Right.
Nowadays, people don't even know what company they're investing in. They just buy an ETF.
Right.
So it's a different ball game. And to be honest, it scares me a little bit, because the original reason that the stock market was brought into being was as a source of capital for businesses. And now it's just more and more turning into a casino, from what I can see, where who cares what it the stock is. Let's just buy the ETF and we'll just get everybody and everyone, and we'll just assume it's going to keep going up like it's done over the last 50 years. And with no analysis done, no determination, if your company happens to fall in an ETF, then bully for you. Your stock will probably keep going up.
Right.
And if you get cut from the ETF, you know, see you later, because that's all over, and because no one's really involved or buying that company. And I think that skill level has been taken away.
The manager.
For the manager, but also I think it opens the investor to a world of issues that never existed before. Once again, it's society trying to create this umbrella and the safety net of, hey, here you go. We'll put a safety net under you, so it's safer to invest in stocks. And we all know what happens. The more safety you try and create, the more volatility you ultimately are creating. And so the problem with it is that when things go bad, everything goes down together. I mean, 2008 was such a classic example. Everything just got decimated. Everything.
Right.
Even things that weren't meant to be correlated to one another. Every single thing just got pounded.
Mm-hmm.
Even, which really surprised me the most, but you had those ETFs which were based just on investments in munis and bonds, right? Those bond prices were going through the roof as the yield went from like 6-8% down to 3%.
Right.
So you would have thought that those ETFs would have been beneficiaries. They should have skyrocketed, and those things got pounded. They were taken in half.
Right.
Which to me just was amazing to watch. It meant the market really wasn't doing what it's meant to do. Mm-hmm. It's just all in or all out.
Well, that's where, I mean, we've talked about it. When it comes to the bond side, it's hard to make a solid case that an ETF is the best solution or a mutual fund is the best solution. We've talked about this over and over, and we can't get into specific details because we don't want this to be advice. We're not allowed to give specific advice
per
the regulators.
Advice, but it's just the numbers.
Because you know exactly what you're getting when it comes to buying an individual bond. Versus if you buy an ETF, you don't know, because it's a pool, like Steve was saying. It's a large number of different bonds built into there, and it is trading like a stock.
It's a stock, ultimately.
Right.
So when the stock market goes down, that's going to go down. Mm-hmm. Even though if you'd actually bought the individual bond, you would be making money.
Sure. Well, there's tons of individual bonds out there right now that are 150% of their value.
Yep.
So you've got a 50% gain, and you've been getting a 6 or 7%
correct
interest payment on a regular basis.
I mean, just killing it on the
right
investments. And yet the investors who went into the ETFs associated with bonds, they're not probably even back to whole. Last time I looked, some of them weren't even back to whole yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just crazy. It's been the biggest bull market in the bond world in history.
Right.
And here you're being pounded.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So I think the point to the story is you have to be careful with this, oh, whoopee, the stock market's got an answer for every style of investment, because they don't.
Mm-hmm.
What they do, they've done a really good job of, is packaging things up thrusting it down people's throats and making it seem like it's a fantastic idea and investment.
Right. Make you believe that this is
correct. Why? The right because solution. They get paid when you buy it.
Sure. It's in tough times you see the broker dealers, the big investment banking firms, they get really creative and they come up with solutions and package, like you said, they package these products that there's all kinds of things called structured notes, structured products that are all devised in a way to try to show you, oh, you aren't taking any risk here, but you could get a lot of upside. And some of those vehicles work a little bit. Some of them don't work at all.
Remember those SPACs?
SPACs?
Yeah, no. Special asset companies.
Okay.
And what they would do is it's basically you and me creating a supposed stock, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to raise $500 million and people shove it in there. And in the actual write-up, it says we can buy whatever we want with once we've raised the money.
Okay.
And people were buying this stuff.
It's like, wow.
There's not even a company under there. We're all just dumping money in, assuming there's going to be a return based on this brochure.
Right. Go buy something.
There's not many of them anymore. You don't even remember them. So there you go. Probably before your time.
Could be. I don't know. I've been around here a while now. This is my 20th year in this industry or involved in this industry.
There you go.
In one way or another. So
I'm just teasing you.
I know. Well, that's because you got 10 years on me in this industry. So, but between us, we've got quite a bit. When we come back, we're going to talk. We talked a lot about inflation last week, and we mentioned the Big Mac Index. So it took me most of the week, but I was able to dig up some stats that we can discuss what the Big Mac Index. And then we're going to get to the question that a listener posed to us and try to break it down a little bit and really help show you how it makes sense to go about creating a strategy based on a specific goal you're trying to accomplish. You are listening to the Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170, The Answer.
Keep up with KCBQ hosts and current events. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Look for the icons online at kcbq.com.
Discover Bookkeeping Made Easy, your source for bookkeeping and accounting solutions. Get the tools you need to succeed. Bookkeeping Made Easy gives clients personal attention with insightful advice for your expenses, invoices, payables, inventory control, reconciliations, financial statements, and tax preparation. Call now for your free initial consultation, 858-822-9239. Energy, expertise, close personal attention. Bookkeeping Made Easy, 858-822-9239.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to LeadCommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all. But trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And today, what are we talking about today?
Well, you said we were going to talk about...
Big Macs.
Yes.
Let's talk about Big Macs.
I haven't had one in a while.
For some reason, that's a sandwich, even when I was a little kid, I never liked.
Didn't it have the bun in the middle?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the problem with
you. Well, because you weren't from here when you were young, no. You probably don't know the two all beef patty special sauce, that whole saying. They had a commercial where they recited every ingredient on the Big Mac, and everyone I know still has that in their head. It was a very catchy. That may be the way they could come back and get McDonald's back on the map, is just bring that commercial back like Jack in the Box did with bringing Jack back.
Right.
But we always joke about the Big Mac Index. And the reality is, although it's fictitious, it's a pretty good snapshot at what's really going on in an accurate basis, because the cost of a Big Mac really takes into account every aspect of life, essentially. There's travel, so fuel costs, the cost of produce, because they have produce on it, the cost of beef, bread, dairy.
Right.
It's all tied
delivery.
Into
so, yep. Oil and gas.
Real estate,
yep.
Because they have to pay for the building, the land it's on. So
wages.
Pretty much everything's built into the cost of a Big Mac. We talked about inflation was released, 0.8. And it's 0.8%.
Yeah.
Then we also talked about food costs and how that was 3.7%
right.
For 2014. Well, depending on where you were in the world, the cost of a Big Mac range increased by a range of, on the low end, 1.63%.
Where is that?
Ukraine.
Right. So no, what country do we recognize? What's the high end?
Seven and 0.75% increase in the cost of a Big Mac in 2014 in Norway.
Ah.
And up until 2014, it was like 5.3% here in the U.S. We saw a small drop, and it was 4.8%
here
in the U.S.
Is that just for the year, or is that over time?
That's the course of the year.
Oh, okay. 4.8.
So 4.8, and it was averaging about 4.3. So it actually dropped a little bit here in the U.S.
Okay, well, so if you take that, if you take it that as 4.8 and inflation was 0.8, does that mean that McDonald's made a ton of money last year because they made an extra 4%?
I think their
McDonald's numbers weren't that good, were they?
Right.
So it just goes to show.
So maybe they're making money on the Big Mac, but not on anything else.
Maybe no one's
buying it. They're losing money on all the other ones.
Yeah.
Right.
But no, jokes aside, I mean, really, you could argue that way. But ultimately, what I think Dan's trying to say is that the 0.8 numbers that the Fed's releasing are manipulated to some degree.
Right.
Which we all know they are. But the other side of it is, if you're the Fed, you've got a different inflation gauge to what everyone else has. We mentioned a million times now.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has their own inflation. So the Fed's inflation or gauge of inflation is completely different. The problem is that things that are tied to the Fed's inflationary gauge are things like your Social Security benefits.
Right.
And that. So guess what? If the Big Mac inflation rate is similar to what your personal inflation rate is, so it's 4.8, you're on Social Security, you're going to maybe get a bump up of 0.8 or 1.
Right.
So guess what? You've actually just suddenly got a pay cut of 3%.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. That's where you have to start
keeping
up with these types of numbers.
Right.
Because that's actually, now that's no good.
Correct.
Yeah. Your assets better be working really hard to catch that up for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's...
Well, that was a downer.
Yeah, thanks for that, Steve.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Now, well, and really to show a little bit deeper, and one thing we kind of closed the show with last week was the the overall cost of different items, and they broke it down on food items, and, and it was 3.7 across the board increase for food made at home, but the cost of beef was up by 18+%.
Yeah, as we said, there was a squeeze in cattle.
So, but to really put it in perspective, if you're an individual that beef is one of the mainstays in your diet, and you eat beef five nights a week,
well, you better change your chicken.
Your personal inflation rate has grown by 18% on a big chunk.
You know, there's actually an economic term that came out of Ireland. It was called a geffen good. And a geffen good is something that when other goods go up, when the price of it goes up, people buy more. Okay? And the way it works is this. A geffen good, the example they give is a potato in Ireland. The Irish staple diet essentially is potatoes, right? When the price of potatoes goes up, they're forced to buy more potatoes because they're still cheaper than beef.
Okay.
So because your budget's now been taken by potatoes, in order to feed the family, you have to buy more of them and you have less money to spend on beef. So in other words, instead of having a beef stew that's 50% potatoes and 50% beef, you've now got 65% potatoes and 35% beef because you had to buy more potatoes to make the same amount of stew, and that's a geffen good.
Okay.
So there you go. Certain items force you to buy more just by the sheer fact that the price goes up.
Yeah. So how does that relate to beef here in the States?
No, in the example given that we don't have that situation here. So you won't need, if you are buying all that beef, I mean, unless for some reason you're allergic to chicken, but or maybe, you know, maybe you want to eat pork, or maybe for religious reasons you can't. I don't know, but you need to obviously start substituting, and that's the economic theory of substitution, where if something's costs you X and another equivalent costs you a little less, you should buy the other one. Although people still buy apples, and they're more expensive than any other phone.
Right.
But they claim they work better. I wouldn't know. I haven't owned an Apple.
I haven't either.
But I had to say, talk about that. When you look at technological advances, right, and each year we're getting more and more technological advances, which that's the other side to the Fed's inflation rate. They try and bake in a situation where, yes, the actual price of things goes up, but because of the technological advance associated with it, they then ratchet the price down. So if you take an iPhone, let's say you've got an iPhone 4 for $500 and the iPhone 5 is $600. Or are we on the iPhone 5 and 6 now? I don't know. But anyway, whatever it is, that $100 difference, even though it costs you $100 more, the Fed might say, well, there's $100 worth of technological gain. So there's a benefit to you. So therefore, the price is the same. That's how they manipulate their numbers, you see.
So how Apple's doing it.
Yeah, exactly. But so the question, though, is because I remember reading an article about the Apple and about technological gains and stuff. And at one point, I remember the guy, the person writing the article says, you know, when Apple came out and they introduced the iPod and the iPhone and all these things. And then it said, who even has an iPod anymore? Because if you've got an iPhone, you don't even need an iPod. It's been outdated. And here I'm still sitting with my iPod. I've obviously been left behind in the technological dust.
Our family, we never got an iPod.
No.
But now even the Android phones, you can download.
Hey, just do Pandora or whatever.
Endless music, or you can stream Pandora.
Correct.
Or Spotify, any of those.
Correct.
And it's the same solution.
I know. So there you go. That's just literally within, like, what's it, 3, 4, 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know? At some point when I ever upgrade my phone, I'll probably welcome to the world again, you know.
Well, that's still a flip phone, right?
Just about. If it could flip, it would. Yeah. It's not even that advanced.
Yeah.
But I think in 6 months, I think it's done its time. If 6 years, that's good enough, I think.
Oh, I think that's a good lifespan for a phone. Generally, they get dropped and the screens explode.
Oh, no, I've done that 3 times.
This is the replacement?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we're going to get to a question that a listener brought up to us. We can probably kind of tee it up a little bit here.
Okay.
We're running up against a break. But the question was, if I have $1.1 million and
an investable money.
Yeah, an investable money, and I need income from that to live my lifestyle, and I would like $1,000 per
week. Yeah.
Is that a feasible goal? Is that something that's accomplishable without overdoing, without taking too much risk, putting too much risk on the table? Because this person is hinting at being pretty risk averse, not wanting to lose the principal, and that has to be factored in, because if you lose principal, now all of a sudden you have to make a higher return to accomplish that goal of $1,000 per week.
You've also got issues there with inflation, because once again, if it's 50 grand that they want a year today, what do they need to keep that same standard of living in 5-10 years? And so,
well, inflation's only 0.8, so we just have to calculate that
up. Exactly, but I'm just saying, so part of that 50 grand of cash flow, that needs to be derived off a certain percentage of the portfolio, with the balance of the portfolio hopefully growing in size to be able to keep up with that inflation rate to be able to generate more income.
Well, and we'll sit down and try to break it down just to give some examples of the way you need to look at things and base them around a goal. You need to be able to outline, this is what I want to accomplish, this is what I need to accomplish in order to do the things I want to do. And then kind of work backwards and back your way into it and see if it is a feasible goal. Because on the surface, you could look and say, well, gee, $1 million, $50,000, that's 5%. It's not that easy to find a fixed 5% these days.
Well, the 10 years at what, 1.8?
Right, 1.8. So in the 30 years at 3?
I don't even know if it is. It's like 2.5, I think.
Yeah, so.
So, I mean, there you go. You, with 30 years, you're only at 2.5%. You're halfway to your goal, and you haven't.
Right.
That's not going to do it.
And that's basically what they consider zero risk investment.
Yes, but you also got no growth in the underlying portfolio.
Right.
Well, we'll have to try and dig into this.
Well, stick around. We'll dig a little deeper on that and break it down for you. You are listening to the Portfolio Doctors, 1170 AM, The Answer.
Up with KCBQ hosts and current events. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Look for the icons online at kcbq.com.
Discover Bookkeeping Made Easy, your source for bookkeeping and accounting solutions. Get the tools you need to succeed. Bookkeeping Made Easy gives clients personal attention with insightful advice for your expenses, invoices, payables, inventory control, reconciliations, financial statements, and tax preparation. Call now for your free initial consultation, 858-822-9239. Energy, expertise, close personal attention. Bookkeeping Made Easy, 858-822-9239.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to LeadCommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all. But trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And thank you for listening. Today we touched a little bit on inflation, and this conversation looks like it's going to continue factoring inflation in and how you need to be aware of inflation and the impact it'll have on goal setting. The question we were posed is, if I have $1.1 million and I need $1,000 per week, so basically $52,000 per year, is that an achievable goal with the $1.1 million without having a significant risk of losing principal of the $1.1 million?
Well, yeah, the issue really is, yes, it's doable. You can get that. I mean, it's going to have to look outside your normal stocks and bond type portfolios, but it is achievable. The problem that I posed earlier was, you don't want to suck that, assuming your portfolio can earn 5%. Mm-hmm. So that would be the total million producing 5%, and you stripping out every single dollar out of that return to live now.
Right, any interest rate. So for an example, if the 30-year treasury was paying 5%, you could essentially go buy $1.1 million worth of 30-year treasury bonds, and you'd accomplish your goal today.
Yeah, but the problem is it's not growing. You're not keeping up with inflation.
Well, that's what I said. You're accomplishing your goal for today.
Yes.
A year from now, even if it's only 0.8% inflation, you're now just a little bit short.
Correct.
And that just slowly magnifies you. And guaranteed, inflation's not going to stay at 0.8%.
It's like cancer. Mm-hmm. Seriously, that inflation. It's sort of, you don't know you've got it, and it's slowly sort of eating you up, right? And then eventually, by the time you finally work out, oh, my word, I have cancer, most of the time it's too late.
Right.
Because by then, it's ravaged your portfolio. You're not anywhere close to your goals. You've hacked down everything that you thought you were going to be able to do, and now you're starting to dig into principal, which in the beginning didn't seem too bad. You're pulling down a 10 grand a year, then it's 20 grand a year, which makes it harder and harder. And by the time you wake up to the fact that you need this, it should have been taken care of earlier, it's too late.
Right.
And that's why it's so important to catch it early, just like cancer. If you catch it real early, you've got a good shot at survival. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a plan for this thing. So in this example, we can get 5%. But what you want to do is you want to get that 5% on a small amount of that return of 50 grand on a small amount of the portfolio.
Right, only a portion.
To allow some of it to grow.
So if it is $1 million, if you could accomplish that with half of it.
Yes.
And allow the other half
which
to
which means it's returning 10% now.
Right.
Now that's hard in this environment.
Correct.
It can be done.
Well, and this is where we'd like to think we're going to help you make decisions and look at things a little differently, because the media just says you need to be in stocks and bonds and
be done. We can get through that 10% on half of your portfolio, but it's not going to be in bonds, and it's not going to be in stocks, because those do not exist in those two equations. As we've mentioned repeatedly, if you go right out on the risk spectrum and you head out to a triple B non-investable grade bond, you're still only going to get like 4.
Right.
And you need 10.
There are some vehicles out there that are considered to be safer, but there are still inherent risks, like a preferred security.
Correct.
A lot of financial institutions have preferred securities out there that are paying 6-7%.
These closed-end funds.
Right.
Those can sometimes get 6 or 7, but once again, it's an ETF that your investment's going to be subject to the volatility associated with that.
Right.
There's ways to get those types of returns, but you have to step out of that comfort, and you have to go to a person who has access to those types of investments, you know, like the portfolio doctors.
Right.
But, I mean, So let's assume we can get that 10% on half of that portfolio, mm-hmm. right? So we left with $500,000 more. And then what you would do is you would structure that $500,000 in terms of a type of a pyramid or triangular type investment strategy where you slowly move up the risk spectrum mm-hmm. so that maybe of that $500,000 remainder, you put 50, 60, 75 grand into something into more risky.
Like
private equity or futures or something like that, where it has the opportunity to double in the next, 5-10 years.
Or more, case of a private equity.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
You generally will expect close to a 10-time return. So if you put $100,000, you could potentially in 5 years have
$1 million
right there. And guess what? Now your million is $2 million.
Yeah.
Suddenly things look very different. Now you just really turn it down.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, that allows you to do that. Mm-hmm. And it all then you look at the landscape at that point, and for we know, yields are 5%.
Right.
But then that'll mean that inflation's been higher. So, it's a balancing act. And why you have to constantly monitor, constantly go back, constantly mm-hmm. check, constantly update your situation, constantly. You're now 2, 3, 4, 5 years older. Your lifestyle's changed. Your outlook's changed.
Exactly.
Everything's changed.
Do you still need $50,000 a year? Maybe you need $75,000 now because the cost of living is
right
higher. Maybe you need medical care with some frequency. So it is very important. Constant monitoring is probably more important than where your money is.
Correct.
In the big picture. If you're constantly going back and revisiting your goals and saying, what is the goal? Okay, is that still a valid goal today? Or does it look different? Do I really need $50,000? Maybe you only need $25,000 5 years from now.
Right.
You just never know. And so you just need to constantly be looking at that. And if that's the case where you start out, you're getting $50,000, and then 5 years from now you're revisiting those goals and you realize, I'm always having money left over. I really don't need that much.
Right.
You can turn the amount of risk you're taking down significantly,
right.
not have any impact on the principal, be able to produce that $25,000, and probably have extra left over.
Or just reinvest that excess cash into other things.
Right.
If you have that power.
That compound interest power.
Yes. If you've got the ability to reinvest, and also then it allows you to take advantage of anomalies that show up, because mm-hmm. anomalies do appear in markets. And, if you can see them and catch them, and you have the ability because you're sitting on excess cash, that's the other side to investing. People just underrate is the ability to not necessarily push this whole $1 million in at mm-hmm. one go, is to have a piece of it sitting there to catch other opportunities. I mean,
right.
I had a friend who had 200 grand in cash. When the market fell to pieces in 2008, he dumped it in the market, caught it at the almost exact bottom. It shot up. He had $1 million, right? He took that out and bought up half of Vista with it, Now mm-hmm. he's got like 50 houses in Vista, and the value of those is now $5 million. So in 6 or 7 years, he turned 200 grand into 5 million. And that's
a pretty
obviously
good run.
Timing had sure. a lot to do with it. But the main part to my story is he had that cash sitting there. And that's why sometimes it's like, my cash is earning nothing. My cash is earning nothing. But your cash is giving you a massive opportunity to participate in those types
right.
of things. If you fully invested and you just go down with everyone else and then back up with everyone else, you don't have those opportunities available.
So to really capitalize on the opportunity.
So investing your money today takes away the opportunity, or is an opportunity cost to you, because you mm-hmm. don't have the ability then to invest in something else later unless you sell that original investment.
Right.
But, that's another thing you have to consider, is mm-hmm. always having something lying around where you can add if you need to, buy at a lower cost, or find something new and exciting that works and fits into your portfolio properly that you get you
right.
to your goals.
It's just, it is a little bit as easy as that, where it's just, if you have that cash sitting there, you need to be willing to pull the trigger.
Yes.
Because I can guarantee, I had clients that had a bunch of cash right into March of 2009.
And wouldn't pull the trigger.
And we went back and forth, and it was...
Yeah.
the upside risk is much greater than the downside at this point, I believe. It still wasn't for sure,
correct,
but it appeared that there was a better opportunity that things were going to turn around,
yep,
than continue down, because they were so beaten up,
yep,
all of 08 and into early 09.
Yeah.
What was that, 50, 60% drop? And
It's hard to imagine, because with the S&P around 2000 or so, that back then it was at 668 or something, 667.
Right. Mm-hmm.
660, call it 670, right? I mean, we're at 2000 now. 670, 670.
Right.
Where we're sitting now is so far in the clouds, it's hard to imagine when you look down below that those specks down there are humans, you know?
Right.
And they're probably 6'5", and they may be bigger than you, you know?
Right, by a lot.
Yeah, so anyway, that's just the point we're trying to make, is that you need to, that opportunity cost can be a big one.
Mm-hmm.
So always put that in the back of your mind when you're pushing your chips forward, that now I'm going in here, it means I'm taking away the opportunity to invest in something else. And
right,
obviously, as you mentioned, though, analysis by paralysis is,
right,
is a massive problem when some people just get stuck on, oh, well, maybe there's something better, maybe there's something bigger. Better, and it never shows up, and they miss everything.
Right. The best example would be the fixed income, the bonds. People saying, oh, when rates go up, I'm,
yeah,
not going to invest because rates are going to go higher. 5 years ago, they were considerably higher than they are today.
Even last year, you could have
got
them at 3%, mm-hmm, the 10-year. Now we're at less than
2. You would have had a 20%+ gain.
I know.
So there is a pro and a con to each opportunity cost.
Agreed.
So you need to take those into account. And that's part of why we're here. We want to help you.
And it's funny because now people are going, oh, if only I could get 3.
Right, exactly.
It's like, but when the 3 was there, it's like, I don't want only 3.
Right. It would be great.
Yeah.
Well, when we come back, we will continue talking about this a little bit and then get into some concentration, the idea of concentrating your investments versus diversifying. Because you always hear diversification is the key. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
Keep up with KCBQ hosts and current events. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Look for the icons online at kcbq.com.
Discover Bookkeeping Made Easy, your source for bookkeeping and accounting solutions. Get the tools you need to succeed. Bookkeeping Made Easy gives clients personal attention with insightful advice for your expenses, invoices, payables, inventory control, reconciliations, financial statements, and tax preparation. Call now for your free initial consultation, 858-822-9239. Energy, expertise, close personal attention. Bookkeeping Made Easy, 858-822-9239.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Bick.
Today we talked inflation, and inflation's kind of dominated the conversation. We broke down a way to really look maybe a little differently at what to do with investable money. You need to really outline what your goal is very specifically, and maybe even as specifically as outlining a exact date, not just saying, oh, I'd like to have X amount of money. Everyone would like to have an X amount of money.
Let me tell you, the problem with, and it's not a problem, that's the wrong use of the word, The issue that people have with an exact date is it's way too scary. You know what I'm saying?
To put a real date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People, it's like, oh, I want $2 million. By when? Oh, sometime. Well, when? And no one ever – and then when – let's assume I said, oh, I want $2 million by 2020. Mm-hmm. And then you write that down. That's still a bit wishy-washy, but let's assume that's acceptable, 2020.
It's better than just saying, I want $2 million.
But then you look at it and go, well, that's only 5 years away. Right. How the heck am I going to get to two? It sounded great when I said it, but now that I'm looking at it.
Well, and that's kind of the key by doing this. And I think to your point of that's difficult. And because our society anymore has gotten away from accountability.
Correct.
And by putting a date, by putting July 1st, 2020, suddenly there's an accountability, even if it's just to yourself.
Well, that's the biggest problem. It's to yourself.
Right. And you would think, well, gee, I don't have to really honor that. But once you've written it down, now that's sticking there. That hopefully that would be a driving factor and say, okay, I've outlined this. I've never really put it down and put an exact date on it. What do I need to do to accomplish this?
Yes.
Whether it's save $500 a month at some interest rate or whatever it is, you need to outline it and determine what are the steps that are going to give you the highest probability of achieving these specific goals.
Right.
And that's a big part of what we do is help people put this stuff.
Yeah, we don't get you off lightly.
Right. There's an accountability.
Yeah.
To yourself as
and
well as to us.
That's why you're listening to this show. We're trying to educate you so you can be accountable.
Right.
You can't just fob it off onto your financial planner and say, oh, well, he'll take care of me. That person, as we've discussed repeatedly, more often than not, just goes, you know, this is only paying me $5,000 a year. I'm going to spend minimal time. And really, all I'm going to do is drop you in a bucket with everyone else and rush off to try and find the next client. Because if I can get 1,000 clients at $5,000 a year, I'm making $500,000 and that's bully for me. And who cares what happens to the rest of you? Because if I lose one of you, it really doesn't make a difference in my existence.
Correct.
So, that's the problem. That's why you need to be accountable and you need to understand what you're doing and you need to get educated and you need to listen to the Portfolio Doctors.
That's why they're listening.
Exactly.
That's why they're tuning in. Well, we talk all the time, and again, to kind of break down one of the myths, and I don't know if it's going to really be that big of a myth, but the whole concept of diversification is key. You need to be diversified to protect yourself. There's a lot of validity to that. But at the same time, by concentrating, if there are certain areas that you know a lot about or you're very comfortable with and you can just see are growing areas – it can make a lot of sense to add a pretty heavily concentrated position in a portfolio.
Yeah, I mean, take, for example, properties. Let's assume you've got, I don't know, 5 properties, okay? And when people go, oh, 5, that's impossible. Yeah, it's probably unattainable to 99% of us in California.
Right.
But it's pretty easy if you're going to go buy in, you know, Ohio or, you know, somewhere
Iowa
like that.
Iowa or any small –
yeah, at 30 grand, you've got a house. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not that big of an ask when you step out. So it's you can get a portfolio, let's say, five houses. Now, you could say, well, if I'm going to get five, I don't want to get stuck in one geographical region.
Right.
I better diversify those across different areas. And then suddenly you've got the problem with now you've got five people managing your properties because you need them in different areas. You need
right.
expertise in five different cities or at least five different states. What are the drivers of those? It suddenly becomes maybe better to find one area where you really know and understand and buy the five properties all in that one area. You have one good property manager. And so there, that would be a situation of a more concentrated investment
right.
that makes sense.
Versus the diversifying by buying one house in Nevada, one in Florida, one in Texas, one in Ohio, one in
yeah.
Iowa. There's your five properties. But
it's a nightmare.
Again, you've created a real big mess of trying to tie all that together and make sure that the property manager is doing a good job.
Yeah, I mean, I've got properties scattered all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, you know, that, for example, just in Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
okay, I've got two in Pittsburgh. One's in Pennsylvania, one's just outside Pennsylvania. The one
right.
in Pennsylvania has city taxes and normal property taxes, right? And then the one that's just outside Pennsylvania has the city taxes plus the other property taxes plus school property taxes plus there's a county property tax.
Okay.
So suddenly that one's got four, and they're all coming from four different agencies. So suddenly you get a call, why haven't you paid your bill, your tax bill? And you're thinking, oh, I paid that. And it's some other place you've never
right.
even heard
it's
of.
It's an agency you're not familiar
yeah, so,
with.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a situation of you obviously learn as you go, but it could be a situation where you just never pay that bill because you never realize it's there because
mm-hmm.
you're not living there and the mail doesn't get to you, for example. And the next thing, you've lost your house through foreclosure because you didn't pay this one thing you
right.
would have paid.
Yeah, tax liens will take your house away quickly.
Quick. Yeah. So anyway, go ahead, sir.
No, that
I cut you off.
No, that is right along what we were bringing up is the idea of a concentrated versus a diversification, where
yeah.
it's on the surface it would make sense, but just on the surface of buying those houses scattered across many different states because they're or probably regional impacts. Like even
yeah.
in 06, 07, 08, when the real estate market started to tumble, there were certain pockets that held up pretty well.
Yep.
And it would have been to your advantage to have that area. But at the same time, it would be a nightmare if you are trying to hand pick the five best communities that are probably going to be least impacted.
Yeah, you're not going to get it right. Here's the reason. Here's a classic example. Houston, bulletproof.
Mm-hmm.
Diversified economy, still very reliant on oil and gas. Oil's up at $120 a barrel. It looks like it's going to $150. Everyone's piling into Houston. Now they're talking about all of the Armageddon that's going on there because all of these small oil and gas companies are just being shut down left and right, and it's going to have a massive impact on that city.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a class. You did your research. You based it on higher oil. Who was to know that oil would just suddenly fall to $50 a barrel and impact that investment?
Right.
You know? So, I mean, there's a – or South Dakota. Who would have invested in South Dakota 15 years ago?
Right.
No one. And now with oil they found there, it was boomtown. I don't know what's happening now.
It's still doing quite well.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, because they had with a small community like that, it doesn't take a heck of a lot of demand to suddenly start jacking the prices through the
right.
roof.
Well, and just get it a little bit off topic, but – when it comes to real estate, that is a little bit of a safer haven, like
right.
especially if you're buying a property at $30,000 and paying cash for it.
Correct.
You're still going to get rent.
Yeah.
So you're still going to have cash flow. Maybe it's not the same. Maybe rent drops a little bit. Maybe there is a little bit of deflation in the rent prices. But instead of $700 a month, you're getting $600. That's still probably be better return than you're getting in just about any other avenue.
Well, here's the other thing is, you'll be able to make certain you rented that place because you can cut that rent to $200,
right.
make sure it's rented, whereas everyone else is leveraged up to the max. They have to get $500 or $600
mm-hmm.
just to cover all of the payments, and you can make certain yours is always rented. So
right.
you've got pricing power there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's sometimes where, you know, if you want to diversify, and you can almost take that discussion we've had about properties and take it to the stock exchange and say, oh, well, I'm diversified. I've got 30 different mutual funds. But when you actually analyze them, you basically own the same all across the board. So right. you are concentrated. Mm-hmm. And so maybe better just to find three really good ones rather than 15 and think you've done your job.
Right. Because the reality is one mutual fund should be a pretty good diversified portfolio to begin with.
Yeah, should be.
So do you really need to have 10?
Nope.
You can make a good argument that you could have 3, 4, or 5 different ones and create a more diversified portfolio than just one. But to have 10 plus is really overkill because there tends to be so much overlap.
But what people do is they'll find one, it doesn't work so well, so then they'll invest in a different one, and then that doesn't work so well, and then they invest in the next thing. Mm-hmm. Instead of just rolling that money out of the one into the other, you end up with 15 of them.
Right.
So you have to, at some point in time, take this mess and consolidate it.
And it does go back to chasing the winners as well, which is
correct.
A whole different topic, which can cause you to...
Do we have enough time for that today?
If you can get it all done in about 30 seconds, yes, we got plenty of time.
Yeah, okay, I give up.
Well, we want to thank you again for listening. Again, if any questions come up, like this question that was posed to us, I guarantee we answer that in much more detail in a personal conversation. So if anything comes up, you're not sure how to proceed or the impacts that you could be looking at based on any kind of financial decision, feel free to reach out to us. We are here as a resource. You can access us online at theportfoliodoctors.com or email Steve or I direct. Just steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ in San Diego. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, please call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice.